from NPR, National Public Radio.
From Boston, says you. A game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy. Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Scherr.
Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to the Carriage House of the Codman Estate in Lincoln, Massachusetts, for Says You, our simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. Radio mainstay and master of the dulcet tone, Tony Khan. Producer, wit, the always impeccable, Francine Akbar. And television host, producer, how will he astonish us today? Mr. Barry Nolan. Led into battle by...
Being more peckable than usual, Francine.
The more peckable Francine.
We're also hoping infallible this time around.
To my left, team two, from WBZ-TV, the lovely and lyrical Paula Lyons. Our columnist, our critic, our galloping gourmet, Carolyn Faye Fox, and producer, performer, the old flagging with the dragon, Mr. Arnie Raceman. I don't know why.
I'm the captain.
You're the captain.
The lumping gadfly or whatever,
Our game is played in five rounds. Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners, get the pen, get the paper. Especially today, get the pen, get the paper. Let's begin with a round of definitions and derivations. Help came from Alicia Shapiro of KCRW Land in Santa Monica and especially John Moriarty from Parma, Ohio, who hears us on WCPN-FM. For 5 points, please define, and for an additional five, divine the derivations of the following words and phrases. Carolyn, freelance.
Freelance is to...
Starving.
Starving. It's exactly right. 5 points. Yes.
To freelance is to...
To be unemployed and lie about your resume.
To be between jobs.
Yes, it's true.
Yes, it's to work freelance, piecemeal, albeit paid by the... job.
Self-employed.
Yes,
much.
That's true. Yeah. The derivation.
The derivation would be, I think, for the Middle Ages when people would go around with lances and be
between jousts.
Yep. Between jousts.
That is exactly right.
Thanks,
10 points. That is exactly right. Yes. In the Middle Ages, when people were walking around with lances, especially knights who did not have a noble sponsor, were known as free lancers.
So you could rent them by the night.
It was when you had a night job.
Oh, yeah. I guess.
You've got chainmail.
You've got chainmail.
That is beautiful.
Tony, you're not going to get this, but I just love the derivation.
Okay.
Bring home the bacon.
Well, that means to be sufficiently employed that you can actually feed your family.
That's exactly
or
right.
To be the wage earner, to bring home the bacon.
Yep, 5 points.
Could it possibly be not the bacon we think of, the slice of pork, but the baking
home? Wasn't that where you won a prize, and the prize was actually a pig? There was some kind of agrarian fair in Scotland or England. And if you won it, you won a pig, and you brought it home on a leash. And, oh, look, I brought home
on
the bacon.
On a leash.
That is exactly right. I'm going to give you the 10 points. But here's the actual derivation. Way to get this. An English noblewoman of the 12th century offered a prize at her local church, stop by and swear that for the past 12 months and a day, you had not fought nor wished your spouse dead. If you did, you got a side of bacon. History records a grand total over five centuries of 8 winners.
Right.
But 10 points. Arnie, definition and derivation of cloud 9.
Cloud 9.
Cloud 9. Hmm.
Well, it means to be sort of
happy.
Happy. Up in the, yes, up above buildings. Just
up above buildings.
Buoyed
right.
by.
On a single cloud.
You know, happiness, right. So. Yeah.
Are there 8 choirs of angels or something, and 9 is even higher than that?
How many circles of hell are there? does it have to?
We're
do
in
with
one
that?
Now.
It has a more scientific actual origin. Actually,
oh, it does. Does it?
Does cumulus have 9 letters? No.
But cumulus is the way to go.
Ooh.
And Any help from
the other side?
Eight gases.
Anyone in the audience know this? Love this derivation. 5 points for the definition. Yeah. The derivation, the U.S. Weather Bureau puts clouds into classes with nine types, mm-hmm. and this refers to the towering cumulonimbus ones.
Really?
Right? So that's the highest clouds cloud that they have are cloud types. Nine. Francine, try this one. Alive and kicking.
Alive and kicking. To be alive, to be well enough to kick. I'm thinking animals.
You're right to go to the animal kingdom, yes.
Yes. And kicking.
So going to the animal kingdom, you'd think then kicking would be mules? Or
a horse? No.
Or you'd think kangaroo?
When carrots give birth.
The whole thing about
alive and kicking.
No,
any
ball
thoughts
ball
about
a
that?
A frog?
No.
Fish?
Ooh. A fish is the way to go here.
Fish is. Oh, you mean when you catch it, when you're fishing? When you get the fish back into the boat, it's alive, and it actually sounds like it's kicking while it's flopping around.
That's true.
that's true, but
guess
is that where you're going?
Right.
Yeah, that's where, actually pretty much where it comes from. It is an 18th century London fishmonger's answer to the question, is the fish fresh today?
It's alive and kicking.
Alive and kicking.
It's alive and kicking is where that comes from. But 5 points for your reference.
Fascinating.
Paula Flapper. Flapper. Flapper.
Well, I always thought my mother was one.
There's that right?
Yeah, from the 1920s. It refers to a young woman who did the Charleston and danced
partied.
And partied and had a great time.
Yep, that's 5 points.
But where does it come from? I think it comes from the fringe on the bottom of the dresses.
Oh,
flapped it's
up
the flapping
around
arm movements,
flapping
isn't
arm?
It? Like the funky chicken.
No, it's no, it's not like that. I'm surprised Miss Akbar doesn't know this, and I'll tell you
shoes?
In a minute. Where
shoes?
Shoes?
The
way
shoes is the...
It's not the way the dress flapped up and down
shoes?
As they moved?
A wild young girl from the Roaring Twenties, so-called because they were carefree as to not buckle their galoshes. So the galoshes would flap as they walked.
You got it.
Now, that's ridiculous.
Right, and stop all that flap dancing.
And finally, Barry... And I'm using this actually to start some controversy on the web.
Oh, good.
In the doghouse.
In the doghouse is to have done something for which you are in a certain amount of trouble and have to sort of maintain a low profile for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And in the doghouse, the origin would be, Francine knows this, so I'm going to pass it off to her. This is her 15 seconds of
I think Tony really is into
as
dogs.
Francine's spiritual advisor, yes. Well, I would assume it means you went out and you joined the family pet outside of the main house. You know,
well,
you had sunk to such a low mammalian status.
Right.
Barely higher than the pet. Right.
But when did they make people do that? I keep thinking, you know, Dagwood Bumstead.
Era. Well, you know, this is fairly modern, and it's a literary reference.
It's literary?
It is literary.
So it's not a dog.
Are we back to Orwell?
No, we're not. Any help from the audience? Oh, I thought somebody had it for a minute. They started off with the James. It's J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan.
Oh, really?
And it refers to the father, Mr. Darling, being exiled to Nana's, the Newfoundland. And I don't know if this definition is, if this derivation is correct or not. So please, email us and tell us what you know about being in the doghouse.
In the doghouse.
Let's go on to round two.
Please.
The first of the Says You Bluffing rounds, played with a little musical help from our friends, the Dactyls. Arnie, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The other two have blank cards. Those poor souls will have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Francine's team. 10 points up for grabs to Francine if she can sniff out the truth, or to you, Arnie, if she can't. A few seconds musically enhanced to come up with a definition for the word... Fern. F-I-R-N. Fern. Folks?
From Vapor to Paper, Says You is now in print. Information about our first book, Says Us, Scripts and Quips from Says You, is available on our website at www.saysyou.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word. And with the book, a CD featuring highlights from our early years. You can find out about the book, the CD, and upcoming show events, all at www.saysyou.org.
Thank you very much, folks. We've had a few moments with the word fern. We'll go first to Carolyn.
Well, it's interesting because you need more than a few moments to get really good fern. Because fern is what people used to get when winters were much colder in New England, because fern is very, very old, gritty snow, the stuff you get at the end of the season. You know, the real gritty snow that's been frozen all winter long.
Down at the bottom there.
When Frosty the Snowman was made of tougher stuff, he was made of fern.
He was made of fern. Arnie, fern.
Fern, huh? It is a noun. It's a hook-shaped iron rod used for expanding and designing glass in the art of glass blowing.
Some sort of glass blowing implement.
It's an implement.
Oh, it's just a deafening silence in the room, actually. Paula, fern.
Well, for some reason, fern is just another name for the spike that a blacksmith uses to drive a horseshoe into the foot of a horse.
A blacksmith's
spike.
Spike. A glass-blowing implement or gritty, dirty snow.
Well, I think that it isn't the old snow.
Really?
Yeah.
That was going to be my guess, because it sounds like an Eskimo word.
I thought the term was yark, actually, for what
yark, yeah.
What Carolyn was talking about toward the end of the season. You know,
I heard yark. I thought that it might be the glass-blowing thing.
But it just seems, rarely do we get really practical items as the words. Usually there's an interesting little element of human experience involved in it. That's why I go for the fern, because it's a human response.
The fern is what?
The fern would be all of it.
Old gritty snow.
Old gritty
you would?
Snow.
Yeah, right.
Well, we need to come to some sort of decision here.
I don't think
here.
So. And
okay.
I go with old gritty snow, but
you're
are the captain.
You're both going to go
so
with old gritty snow?
Captain?
All right, I'm just going to fall on my iron rod used in glassmaking.
The tool used in... She goes out on a limb with a tool used in glassmaking. Arnold? Did she uncover something?
Did she uncover something? She uncovered the fact that she's now going to be killed by the man on each side of her.
That was a bluff. Who was, in fact, telling the truth?
The two guys
next
to her.
I admire Francine's independence, and never more than I do at this moment.
Oh, thank you.
Because it is granular snow.
Granular snow. Very good. Couple of stiff I told you so's coming your way. Let's go on to round three. Cryptic capitals. From the following cryptic clues, anagrams, and vague references, please tell me the international capital city I have in mind. Get the pens and papers, folks. An example, auto comes with debt 1/3 off is a combination of the words car, C-A-R, and I-O-U, missing the U, Cairo.
Oh.
I feel so Egypt.
Yes, yeah, so do I.
Very nasty. Give it a try. Carolyn, Bond's boss covered in caviar.
Bond's boss covered in caviar.
Bonds?
Would that be James Bond's boss?
That would be, in fact.
Who's James Bond's boss?
M?
M? Covered in caviar.
Bond's boss covered in caviar.
Bond's covered in caviar. Roe?
I'm sorry?
Roe? Rome?
Rome.
R-O-E is Roe.
Is exactly right.
Gosh.
Caviar is roe, and if Bond's boss is covered with the word roe, if M is covered with roe, you get Rome. You see where we're all going here?
It's all great.
Tony.
Warsaw.
Yeah. couldn't
it's
do it.
It's a preemptive strike. Yes. I did the best of it.
And a good one. Good one. Tony, domestic helper hides physician.
Physician. Domestic helper might be either a secretary, a maid.
There we go.
Maid, hides, physician.
Oh, you almost have it.
Madrid.
DR.
Exactly right.
DR.
A domestic helper is a maid, M-A-I-D, and in the middle of that word you put DR for doctor, and you get Madrid. Very good.
Ooh.
Well, if you wanted it to be easy, you know, you could be playing Chutes and Ladders right now. Arnie, I saved this one especially for you. What international capital city is brought to mind by the following? Slaughter, S-L-A-U-G-H-T-E-R, Slaughter song seen in public transit.
Song?
Yes.
Song.
Slaughter song seen in public transit.
Slaughter.
He's the only
massacre?
One.
Massacre?
Kabul.
No.
Kabul.
Yes, that answers Slaughter song seen in public transit.
Tram or train or bus.
I think you might get some help from Slaughter. That's a capital S.
As in Enos?
As in Enos, is right.
So, and Bussos. In
Buenos.
Trenos.
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires is correct, and since it took a long time, let me. Yes.
Yeah.
In the middle of bus, B-U-S. If you split that apart and put in Enos Air,
Enos
Slaughter
Air.
Song,
really pushing.
You get Buenos
really pushing.
Aires.
I got it right, and I still don't like it.
And then divide by four.
Yes, and then divide by four.
10 points.
What are you complaining about? You get 7 points for
seven
that.
7 points.
But well, we got it right.
Took a lot of coaxing. Took a lot of coaxing.
Enos Slaughter. Right.
Enos Slaughter.
Enos Slaughter. St. Louis Cardinals.
Enos Slaughter. Yes, Enos Country
Slaughter.
He's the one
that hit the shot heard around the world.
No.
No.
That was Bobby Thompson.
Okay.
Enos Air in the middle of bus.
Oh, I see.
So we know where we're going with this. Francine?
We're going to trouble.
Yeah.
No.
Musial, M-U-S-I-A-L, gets mixed up with a Shakespearean villain.
Constantinople.
No.
Coriolan.
Stan.
Shakespearean villain.
Yep. Musial, M-U-S-I-A-L,
right.
Gets mixed up.
So Stan is
Stan.
The answer to this, the musial.
Well,
part.
Gets mixed up
but
with
mixed
a Shakespearean
up is
villain.
Oh, how
so
about...
Iago.
That's exactly right.
Santiago.
Santiago, yes. If you mix up the letters of Stan to Sant and then add a Shakespearean villain, Iago, you get Santiago.
Santiago.
This is the toughest one of them all.
This is for me?
But Paula, I'm giving it to you because you got a shot at this.
Okay.
Stafford's. S-T-A-F-F-O-R-D, apostrophe S, Stafford's in good mental health. Stafford's in good mental health.
St. Joe. St. Joseph. St. Joe.
San
Jose.
San Jose is correct.
Why?
Very good. San Jose, in the middle of the word saint, you put Joe Stafford. Joe's in good mental health.
Take the weight saying separate it. Right. Throw Joe's in the middle of it.
Okay.
There it is.
All right.
And finally, Barry, my location, if at Melrose and Rodeo.
Melrose and Rodeo.
That's Beverly Hills.
That's Beverly Hills.
Well, you can think a little broader than that.
L.A. Yep. And my location would be here.
Place.
This is just this is a very mean-spirited one.
My location, if at...
Any help from the other side? The L and the A is correct, and that's on either side of it.
No, but wasn't that for you?
Any help from the audience?
Lahore?
No.
Lahore?
I'm sorry to say this, and I know I'm going to get booed, but my location, if at Melrose and Rodeo, is I'm in the middle of L.A., Lima.
Lima.
Lima,
I'm in the middle of
Peru.
LA.
As I say, don't hold back. You know, make it. Let your feelings known. Lima, Peru. A tough one. All right, let's go on to round four, which is Francine's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Arnie, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few seconds to come up with a definition for the word huffduff.
Huffduff?
H-U-F-F hyphen D-U-F-F. Huffduff.
Doobly oobly oops.
Huffduff.
If you want to eat up hours of free time that otherwise could be spent ironing or changing the washers in the basement sink, why not check out our website at www.sayou.org. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U, all one word. You can ask us questions, contribute questions, order books, CDs, tickets, Everything in good fun at www.sezhou.org.
Tap dogs. Thank you very much, folks, for giving us a little time with the word huff duff. We'll go first. Tony, I've been waiting all week for you.
Have you? Yeah? Can you wait a little longer?
No, this is it.
Oh, it sounds sort of like a light case of dandruff.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
It does, but alas, it is not. No, it's a musical term. It's a setting. It's an organ setting that half tamps the effects. So, for instance, if you have, you know, that little button you push in that's trumpet, you'd get an umpet, you know. And if you so it's a half setting for the buttons of an organ when you huffed up.
It's half an organ stop, is what you
said. Was there a definition in all that?
Yes, it's a half organ stop.
It's a half organ.
Well, there's no shortage of derision coming from the other side.
Let them laugh. Let them laugh.
Let them laugh.
Francine.
Them laugh. It is not that at all.
It is
actually a early 18th century lady's wire undergarment supporting a petticoat.
Oh, the old huff duff.
Yes.
The old huff duff.
Yeah.
I actually saw one at the Victoria and Albert Museum in
really?
London. Mm-hmm. They have a quite wonderful old costume museum there.
I spent my childhood trying to see them.
Barry, help us out here.
Actually, most people have seen a huff duff.
Oh.
You've seen in things like Batman, you know, where they have, there's always like a little black van with a little thing going around on the top going, meep, 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 meep. And Robin is holding some little device. He's going, holy cow, Batman, there. It's a radio receiving device used to locate the source of transmissions. To use it in a sentence, you'd have to bluff like a huff duff to have enough fluff to figure out Richard's tough stuff.
Good.
You really think that was worthy of applause, huh?
No, they're just mad at you.
Yeah. What'd you say it was again, though? It was a
radio.
It's a radio. You know those little things that
me.
Yeah, yeah. You see the little green dot on the little thing?
Yeah.
It's a radio transmission device. A radio.
Receiver
it's a thing that. Find out where a radio is actually transmitting from.
Oh, sure.
A radio receiver. Okay. A lady's wire underpinning or. Half an organ stop.
Getting mad and going off in a golf cart.
Well, you're the captain, Arnie, and we just are going to put our faith in you.
I don't think it's Barry's.
You know, huh?
No, because he brought it back to one of those scientific, technological sorts of things, and that's always suspect.
And Tony's?
I wonder about that because huff does have that sense of air, and an organ does, you know, there are the pedals and all that sort of thing.
It's just crazy enough to be right.
Well,
okay, Arnie. Good luck.
I'm going to go with Tony for no other reason than I'm going to go with Tony.
Tony, Mr. Reisman says it's half an organ stop. Is he correct?
Well, Arnie said for no other reason. I'd get rid of the other.
For no reason.
There's no reason whatsoever to go with huff duff.
Okay.
My definition is totally made up.
Good.
10 points. Very good. That was a bluff. Someone had the right audience, what do you think it is? I think that's about 50-50. Who had the right definition?
A huff duff is a radio receiving device
really?
Used to locate the source of transmissions.
Very good. 10 points. Excellent job, man. I just cannot believe they went for the organ stop. I just don't believe it.
Well, you know.
Let's finish with a round of famous last words.
Bless you.
For 10 points, please tell me the famous film concluded with the following words. Carolyn, what film was concluded with mediocrities everywhere, I absolve you all?
Who's the mediocrity?
Forrest Gump. I absolve you all. Yeah. Joan of Arc?
No,
mediocrities. No, somebody mediocrity.
Well, I guess
you mediocrity. No.
Mediocrities, the Greek philosopher of
friend of Plato's.
The late 3rd century. Any help from the audience on this? Amadeus is exactly
Amadeus.
Right. It is the last words spoken by Salieri.
Smart audience.
Very tough. Tony.
I can't.
Maybe he just wanted to steal our wire cutters. Did you ever think of that?
Maybe he just wanted to steal our wire cutters. Did you ever think of that?
The other side, I think, has a pretty good grip on this one. Any help from that side?
Clueless.
Wire cutters is the key here.
Yes. Well, some breakout movie, Stalag 17.
Stalag 17 right. is exactly right. And we'll give you 7 points for that because you got a pretty big hint. Arnie, here's the toughest one. You deserve this.
Thank you.
Boss, why did God give us hands? To grab. Well, grab.
Wall Street.
Boss, why did God give us hands? To grab. Well, grab.
It any does sound like a 30s or a 40s movie, right?
Because well, no, it's a little later. Any help from the audience? No one knows Zorba the Greek. Zorba
really?
The Greek.
Nope.
Zorba the Greek. Zorba the Greek.
We do, nope. but not that line.
Sorry. Francine, give me a girl at an impressionable age and she is mine for life. Give me a girl at an impressionable age and she is mine for life.
Well, it certainly sounds like something you might hear in My Fair Lady,
but
I don't think that's
but
it.
It's not it.
No.
Any help from the other side?
An impressionable age.
Any help from the audience?
She is mine for life.
No.
No, it is actually The Prime of Miss Jean Brodie, and I'm so surprised that you didn't know that. Let's
we weren't thinking school marms.
Yeah, school marms is a tough one, but no one knew that. Paula, try this. Well, sir, go an ohm. Ohm, sir.
Would that Man Who Would Be King, we're guessing?
Oh, no.
David Copperfield or...
No.
Oliver Twist?
Not that. We're closer with the first one. Any help with the other side?
Man Who Would Be King?
This is just a murderous category.
Well, this is a terrible category.
No? Any help from the audience? No?
No.
It is actually Lawrence of Arabia. As they're driving away, he says, well, sir, going home. Ohm, sir. And we'll try this one, Barry. We'll go on forever, Pa, because we're the people.
We'll go on forever, Pa, because we're the people. We'll go grapes. Is this Grapes of Wrath?
It is, in fact, the Grapes of Wrath. Very good. Boy, that was a tough ending. Good job, Barry. Tom Joad in the Grapes of Wrath. That gives you, on a very tough day, a total of 67 points and a win for this week. Congratulations.
No small thanks to you.
That is all we have time for this week. Schur and Salkin, the writers. Our associate producer is Mr. Gary Mott. Robin Moore and Fernando Ruiz faithfully record. Our closing this week comes from Sam Stinson of Bowling Green, Kentucky, who asks, do prisoners who spend a lot of time together complete each other's sentences? Ooh, hissed from coast to coast, Sam. See you next week.
Says You is the co-creation of WGBH Radio and Pippet & Finch, Boston. Funding for Says You is provided by this and other NPR member stations and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, making grants to improve the health and health care of all Americans on the web at rwjf.org. The Pew Charitable Trusts, investing in ideas, returning results. www.pewtrusts.com. The Kellogg Foundation, helping people help themselves by investing in individuals, their families, and their communities. On the web at www.wkkf.org. This is NPR, National Public Radio.